Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Pei Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the middle of Daf Pei Beis. You will notice a mishnah that is the beginning point for today's shiur. Before we begin the actual mishnah, we have on the side a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note where we use a double underline to highlight the expressions Miyad, which means immediately, and we'll see that that immediately is a reference to the 14th of Nisan, and an expression Teubar Tsuraso, which in a loosely translated means you leave it over till a later point in time, and that later point in time will be the 16th of Nisan, 2 days after, regarding the issue of burning korbanos that became unfit. And we continue in our note, korban shenifsal, a sacrifice, in this case a korban pesach that became unfit, mosai amrinon de lisroif miyad, u mosai amrinon de boi ibur tzura. When do we say that it shall be burnt immediately on the 14th, that very same day? And under what conditions or circumstances will we say that it requires Ibur Tzura, where it's left over till, literally speaking, till it loses its form, but it means till left over till a later time for the burning of it? So let's now see the Mishnah. HaPesach Shiyotza, a Korban Pesach that left its boundaries. An example of that would be that it left Yerushalayim. A Korban Pesach is to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Or Shenitma, or it became Tomei, Yisoref Miyad. It shall be burnt immediately there on the 14th of Nisan. And you don't leave it over till the 16th of Nisan for it to become, we'll say, really possible as nosar. Nitmu habaylim oishemesu. If the problem with regard to the korban pesach is that the owner became tame or the owner died, namely, the korban pesach is fine, but it has no one to eat it. If the owner died, it's not an inherent problem with regard to the meat itself. It's an external problem. The owner is not there. And the problem, as we said, is called Ein Lo Ochlin. There's no one to eat it. So we say, Teubar Tzurasa V'Yisorf B'Shishosar. Teubar Tzurasa, let its form pass or get ruined. That's a literal translation. And then burn it on the 16th. It can't be burnt on the 15th. The 15th of Nisan is the holiday itself, is Yom Tov itself, as opposed to Chol HaMoed. And you're not allowed to burn sacrifices that became pasul on Yom Tov itself, even though you're allowed to use fire for cooking and for baking, but not for this purpose. So that, in a manner of speaking, if the korban is inherently problematic, a problem befell the meat itself, then it's burnt immediately. But if it's a somewhat external problem, it lacks respect to take meat that objectively, in and of itself, is perfectly all right. And just because of an external type problem, it cannot be eaten. So we say, don't burn it straight off on the 14th. Wait till the time passes and it becomes really pusil. Then it becomes pusil as nosar, and burn it then. And the first opportunity would be the 16th of Nisan. All of that is the analysis for the Tanakama. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika Omer, Af ze yisoref miyad, lefi she'ein loy oichlin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika is a big advocate of immediate burning, we will say. And it is enough that it lacks people to eat it in order to warrant immediate burning. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a structural note, a mivneh, where a diamond is featured. These are makoros, the boy sreifa, lipsulim shonim, sources that indicate that different kinds of psulim, that which invalidates the sacrifice, require the meat to be burnt. We're looking for sources that require the meat to be burnt based on different circumstances of invalidation. We have a note here, he'ora, a note. Ha'gemora mevi'a makoros. The Gemara will be presenting sources. V'achar kach masika, and later the Gemara will resolve the sreifos nilmad mihuchasa, that the burning is something learned from an oral tradition. Achar kach shelis imkein ma bo makoros elu l'lameid. If that be the case, if it's an oral tradition, so the psukim that are being cited along the way, what is the purpose in the psukim? Now, this point applies to some of the psulims. There are cases of problems where the Torah explicitly says it shall be burnt. So we now turn to the Gemara. Bishlamo tome, granted, the case of a korban that became tome, it requires burning. It says ksiv vaboser isha yashir yigah b'chol tome lo ye'ochel bo'esh yisorev. Any sacrificial meat that came into contact with tuma, it is not to be eaten, and it is to be burnt. So there you've got an explicit reference to burning in the case of tome. Ela yoytse menolon, but regarding meat that went beyond its precinct, from where do you know that it is to be burnt? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice there's a long answer marking. There is a fair amount of background that optimally should be given over here to really appreciate this section of Gemara. We will try to briefly present that background, and if it's not sufficient, so we recommend looking up the psukim and commentaries right over there in Vayikra Perek Yud. So the background involves the first of Nisan on historically the day that the base of the Mishkan was established. We're referring to that first of Nisan, during which the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar, and you had leading the Jewish people at the time Moshe and Aaron. And on that day, Aleph Nisan was Rosh Chodesh, and it was also a special day. It was the day of the consecration of the Mishkan. There were, for our purposes, there were four sacrifices, three animal sacrifices, and one meal offering that we want to focus on in our discussion. The three sacrifices were three types of korban chatos. Two of them were special horas shaw sin offerings. One was, so it was called the Soir Nachshon, was brought by the head of the tribe of Yehuda, and the other was a Soir that was designated because of the of that special occasion. And the third was a Soir because it was Rosh Chodesh, a sin offering called a Korban Chatos, a Sir Chatos for Rosh Chodesh. Now the Rosh Chodesh sacrifice is something that would be offered throughout the generations. It wasn't a one-time offering as opposed to the other two sacrifices. And there was also reference to a meal offering, a korban mincha that was offered, also a special offering on that one time, that one occasion. We have to note that the first day of Nisan, when the Mishkan was set up, was also was a day associated with tragedy insofar as the two of four sons of Aaron died, the names Nadav and Avihu. So that having taken place on that very day, the surviving Kohanim, Aaron the father and the two other brothers, Elozar and Isamar, they are oininim during the daytime, the day that their sons and brothers died. They are considered oininim, and an onain has a special legal status. A Kohen, a regular Kohen, a Kohen Hediot, that's an Onain, cannot officiate in the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen Gadol, who is an Onain, is allowed to officiate, but the meat cannot be eaten. Now, what we just said, the meat cannot be eaten, that is true with regard to standard sacrifices. However, there were those special sacrifices that we made reference to, one-time situations, concerning which we say there was a Hiruah Shah, teaching that was for that moment, where Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed Aaron to eat from the Korban Mincha, and from the Korban Mincha allowance, which was a special one-time sacrifice, they concluded that the other two Korban Chatos can be eaten, even though they were Oinonim. However, the Sawyer of Rosh Chodesh, that falls under the standard laws that it cannot be eaten by Oinonim. So we have an example of a korban that cannot be eaten. There's a psul or a restriction that applies. And now, with that information in mind, that's all background, and our hope is that one can keep that in mind as we go through the sugya. Rashi makes numerous references, and if something was unclear, we can point out that there's a very elaborate Rashi found on Daf on Omid Beis, Pei Beis Omid Beis, and the wide lines where Rashi shares gives much more background. We continue the Gemara, focusing on the issue of Yotze, where a korban leaves its place, it is to be burnt. So, Minolan, from where do we know that? Dichtiv. The Pasuk pushes us or sends us right into the middle of a discussion between Moshe and Aaron. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw a sawyer being burnt, he was very upset. It turns out later that Moshe Rabbeinu was working under a certain, we'll call it, mistaken assumption. But he saw it being burnt, and he was upset about it. And he asks Aaron, like, why is that Korban Chatos, which was the Sawyer Shel Rosh Chodesh, why was it being burnt? So the Pasuk says, Hein lo huva es doma el HaKodesh pnima. That's a quote from the Psukim. We recommend looking up the Psukim to appreciate this discussion further. But Moshe Rabbeinu had mentioned, well, listen, you know, I see this korban being burnt. The blood of the korban wasn't brought El HaKodesh Pinimos, it wasn't brought into the Heichal. Omar loy Moshe la'aron. Madua lo achaltem es achatos? Why didn't you eat that third chatos? Why did you burn it? Shemo nichnas domo lifnei lufnim. Maybe the blood was brought inside the heichal, and that would have rendered the korban unfit, and that would be a good reason to burn it. So Amar Loi Lav, Aaron says, no, the blood was not brought into the heichal, which would have been forbidden. Amar Loi, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shemo chutz lemechitza seyotzisa. Maybe it was brought outside its precinct, outside of the azora. Amar lo lav ba'kodesh hoisa, and Aaron says no, it remained ba'kodesh, remained in the azora. The blood wasn't taken out. Amar lo, so Moshe Rabbeinu says ba'kodesh hoisa, if it remained in the kodesh v'hein lo huva es doma el kodesh pnima, and it wasn't brought into the heichal, madua lo achaltem osa. All of this is quotations from the psukim in the Torah. So then why didn't you eat it? So that. What do we see from this discussion, though? What are we to take away from this discussion? Mechlal, from here we can derive de e nafka. Nafka means if it went outside, and we dashed underline it because that's really the focus of this section for that yotze needs to be burned. It says de e nafka inami ayel doma lifnim, or if the blood was brought into the heichal, bas srefa he. Then, as we dashed on like Srefa, then it would have been warranted to have been burnt. Now, at this point in the Gemara, by the way, we didn't explain why, in actuality, that Sawyer Rosh Chodesh was burnt. That's a separate issue. But as far as our issue is concerned, from the discussion between Moshe and Aaron, we see that had it been Yotze Chutz L'Mechitzasa, then the burning would have been justified. So we see from here the source for Yotze. From where do we know that Yotze is to be burnt? We see that from this discussion. The Gemara continues. Bishlamon Nitma Goli Rachmona Bekotchim Kalim, regarding Nitma. So the Torah revealed that if a korban becomes tomei, so even if it's kochim kalim, the lower level sanctity type sacrifices, it is to be burnt. The pasuk that was cited by the first diamond was a pasuk in the context of kochim kalim, lower level sanctified korban. So that even if that's the case, so then kol shekein b'kochei kochim, higher level sanctity korban that became tamei certainly would need to be burnt. So as far as a source for all sacrifices, whether lower level, higher level, sacrifices that became tamei, they need to be burnt, that we have a clear source for. Elo yoytse, regarding the issue of a korban that leaves its boundaries. Ashkechon kodshei kodshim, we found a source for the high level sacrifice, that was what was featured in Vayikra Perik Yud with Moshe and Aaron, kodshim, kalim, and all on. What about lower level sanctified korbanos? For example, a korban Pesach, which was the topic of our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah, it was stated that it needs the Korban Pesach that is Yotze needs to be burnt. Where do you know that from? That's one problem. Vesu Hodesanyo. And furthermore, that which it says, Lon Doma, Nishbach Doma, Yotze Doma Chutz L'Kloyim. If the blood of a korban was left over and not sprinkled on time, or the blood spilled out, or the blood left the kloyim, left the azora, the kaimalon b'sreifa, that we hold these problems generate the need for burning the animal, for burning it, for destroying it through burning minolan. From where do you know those points? The Gemara answers, Nafka lon mi de Rebbe Shimon. The Sanya, we have a Tanaic source, and from this Tanaic source, we will then be able to answer some of the points that were just raised. What does it say? Reb Shimon Oimer, Bakodesh Bo'esh Tisaref. That's a posuk, Limed al Chatosh Shesrefosa Bakodesh. We learn from here that Korban Chatos, that is posel, that becomes posel, it shall be burnt in the Azora. Ein li elo zu bilvad. Well, as far as sources are concerned, that applies to the chatos. Shar psulei kochei kochim ve'emurei kochim kalim in olon. Other high-level sanctity korbanos that became posel, and the innards of lower sanctity type korbanos, the emurim are the innards of kochim kalim. From where do we know that they need to be burnt? Talmud Lomar, Ba'kodesh Bo'esh Tisoref. So from this pasuk we derive the need for burning Ashkechon. The Gemara says Kochei Kochim. This is a source that applies to high level sanctity korbanos. Before continuing, we should point out that the pasuk that was cited in this source, the Reb Shimon source, which said Bakodesh Beish Tisarev, the full pasuk you see on the side where we've written V'chol Chatos Asher Yuva Midoma El Oyel Moyed L'Chaper Bakodesh Lo Se Ochel Bo'esh Tisarev. You'll notice the quote of the Gemara Bakodesh. There are words between the word Bakodesh Bo'esh Tisarev. The pasuk itself describes the unlawful bringing of the blood of the korban chatas into the oyel moed, so that ruins the korban; it needs to be burnt. So, as the Brisa said, that is fine and good as far as a chatas is concerned, where there's this psul of chutz limakomo, where the blood is taken out of where it should be maintained. Where do you learn other kochei kochim that became posel, or the emurim of kochim kalim that became posel? So that is derived from the posuk that says Bakodesh Bo'esh Tisorev. As far as we are concerned now in the Gemara, that is a source for kochei kochim. Kochim kalim in olam, what about other, right about kochim kalim, low-level sanctified korbanos, besides the emurim, what happens when they become posel, that they need to be burnt? Ela, rather, this is the source. Kol psulo b'kodesh b'sreifa. Any nullification or ruination of that which is sanctified is to be burnt. Lo shno kochim kalim, lo shno kochim gemara gemiri law. Whether it be low level sanctified sacrifices like a shlomim or a korban toida or a korban pesach, or if it's kochim kochim like a chatos and osham and oila, gemara gemiri law, it's an oral tradition. V'chatos de Aharon. The Chatos de Aharon is a reference to the story in Vayikra Yud that we featured at the bottom of Omid Aleph, where we saw the interchange between Moshe and Aharon regarding that the burning of that Chatos of the Chatos, the Sir Rosh Chodesh, where there had been a psul. We didn't explain what the psul was, but where there had been a psul, it's a burning. It was really derived from Halacha Moshe Misinai. So you'll ask, so why did the Torah report that whole story? Mishum Maise Shehoya Kachoya. The Torah was relating the actual incident that took place, but the need for its being burnt, that is derived from an oral tradition. That was stated as an oral tradition, not based on a specific pasuk. Uletano debe rabo bar avua di Omar. There is a Tanaic source that was taught in the yeshiva of Rabo bar avua that said afilu pigul ta'un ibor tsura. Even pigul, which is a psul begufo, pigul is a case where a sacrifice was slaughtered with a wrongful mindset regarding time and place. Someone slaughtered a korban and planned and said, I'm slaughtering this with the intention of eating it 3 days from now. That mere intention ruins the korban. So the psul of pigul is something that's inherent to the korban itself, and yet this source that's taught by debate Rabo Baravua says that it requires ibur tsura. It requires being left over, physically left over, till the next day before it can be burnt. Minolan, from where do they know that? Answer: Yolif avoin avoin minoisar. Through a word comparison between the topics of pigul and the topic of noisar. Now, noisar we know from explicit psukim needs to be burnt. Now, noisar by very definition is ibur tsura. Noisar is a korban meat that was left over beyond its time. So, it by definition experienced ibur tsura, and through the word comparison of avon avon, we say the same is required of the pigul. The Gemara asks, v'nelef avoin avoin mechatas de aron. Well, why not learn the word comparison using avon avon from the topic of the chatas aron? And in that case, the chatos was burnt on that very same day without ibur tsura, without leaving over to the next day. Omar loch. So the answer is of why we say that, we learn avon avon from noser, not from chatas aron. Chatos de aron ki hai gavno nami ibur tsura ledoirois bayo v'hasam hayras shahoisa. In fact, if the same incident involving the chatos of Aaron had arisen on some other occasion, ledoros means other than that first day, that Aleph Nisan story, it would have also required ibur tsura. Now, whatever the problem of the chatos Aaron was, it was a type of problem that would have required ibur tsura. And as far as in the story involving Aaron and Moshe on that Aleph, on that particular Aleph Nisan, Hayra Shoisa was a special ruling, a one-time ruling that stated burn it immediately. Hashto di Amrinon, kol psulei de kodesh besreifa. Now that we've said that which we saw above, that's why a little arrow here to align this with the arrow above, that which we said, that all psulei de kodesh are besreifa, lo yishno de kodshe kodshim, lo yishno kodshim kalim, gemora gemiri law, that all kinds of psulim result in the korban the korban that was rendered unfit, it is to be burnt without regard to the difference between kochi kochim or kochim kalim, that is all based on an oral tradition. Bakodesh b'eshti sreif lomali. Well, what do I need that pasuk for? Now, what we've done with our markings, we're highlighting psukim that were mentioned earlier, and by the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with what you saw above. Question is, what do we do with those psukim that were allegedly giving us information that we really know through an oral tradition? So what is the purpose of the pasuk that was cited earlier that we thought was the source for the burning? We don't need it for the burning, because that is derived from the Halacha Moshe Sinai. So the Gemara is asking, Va'kodesh b'esh tisareif lomali, what do I need that pasuk for? Answer, Hahu miboyale, that pasuk's role is shesreif fosa b'kodesh, that the burning is to take place in the Azara. Well, what about this pasuk? V'abosar shiga b'chol tomei lo ye ocheil bo'eshi soreif lomali. Now, if you want to find where that was, so you have a little star to the side of the Gemara text indicating to look at Omid Aleph. You can see the star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. And you can go back to Pei Beis Omid Aleph and you'll see where this was coming from, basically at the beginning point of the Gemara discussion. So the question now is, this pasuk that indicates that which came into contact with Tumah shall be burnt, what do I need it for? Hahu ligufei itzterich. I need it for itself. In other words, that will become clear as we go on in the Gemara, I need it for itself for the case of Tumah specifically. Sakodai techamin, and by the way, take note, this is a long answer. Without this pasuk, I would have thought kol psulei the kodesh kagon lon doma v'nishbach doma v'yotza doma v'nishchata balayla the besreifa, all of these kind of psulim, the case of lon doma where the blood was left over time expiring before it was sprinkled, or the blood spilled out, or the blood was yotze, it left its precinct, or a korban that was slaughtered at night, which is improper, that all of those things result in burning. The lesnehu bechulin, they are specific kodshim, sacrificial problems, aval nitma. But the case of tuma, which was cited in the pasuk that we're analyzing right now, the bechulin nami mafsil, the problem of tuma is something that presents itself even outside the realm of sacrifices. We know that tuma is something that affects truma, affects meister sheni, and it has ramifications with regard to the realm of chulin as well. So nitma de bechulin nami mifsel emo. I would have thought without the pasuk hayil v'isavid be uvdin dechol, since it was treated as if it were some type of common thing. Rashi says shel nisharu, they weren't careful, v'nitma nishal v'huzla b'kedushasa, it became rendered unfit and cheapened, so to speak, in its sanctity. Emo lo tiboyi sreifa v'tiski le b'kvura. I might have thought that once it's been cheapened so much, you know what? We're not going to treat it like we would standard sacrificial problems with burning, but rather suffice it to be buried so that dogs don't come to eat it. Komash Malon. Therefore, the pasuk tells me that even though the meat was exposed to tuma, which is a real cheapening of it, so to speak, nevertheless, it is to be burnt and not merely buried. Nitmu habaylim oy shemesu to obar tsurasan. And Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omar af ze isoref miad. On the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, we see machloikis tanakam of Rabbi Yochanan Broka b'mishnosenu I nitme'u habaylim, if the owner became tomei, and as a result of that, he won't be able to eat his Korban Pesach. Nisraf Miad, is the Korban Pesach to be burnt immediately on the 14th of Nisan? Oboi Ibur Tzura. or does it require being left over till the time passes, till the next day, or more accurately, till the 16th of Nisan? Haim nechsha psulo machmas dover acher, the fact that the bailim became pusul, how do we look at that? Is that considered like a psul machmas dover acher, an external type invalidating factor, and how do we treat it? We have an additional note on the whether you see a double star at the other in the other margin, and we note kivun chashiva. This is a certain a trend of thought that we want to look into. Ha'im shayech lisrof miyad. Is it possible to burn immediately b'li ibur tzura psulei korban she'enam psulim begufa korban psulim? Things that render a korban unfit when it's not something inherent to the korban itself. Kagon, bailim shnit mulachar zrikas dam. For example, where the owner became tomei after the blood was sprinkled, or kohen gadol shehikriv beheter vaninos, or a kohen gadol who offered a sacrifice, albeit in a permitted fashion, when he was an onain. An onain is a person who experienced the death of one of the close relatives. So the day that it actually took place, he's considered an onain. A kohen gadol, there's a special allowance for him to offer sacrifice, but the sacrifice cannot be eaten. What do we do with the meat? Is it burnt? Is it burnt immediately, or do we require it to be left over? Again, an example of something that's not inherent to the meat itself, but external. So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Now this marking is explained on the Mivneh heading. These are Deos Bamaroyim. In fact, it's Deos, and we could say Deos Ushlovim. There's stages in understanding Mosai Kayam HaMachlokes Tanoim. We saw in our Mishnah a Machlokes Tanoim between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. When, under what circumstances is this machlokes? Aleph, nitmu lifnei zrikas dam, where the bailim, where the owner became tamei before the blood was sprinkled. Bays, another scenario, nitmu laachar zrikas dam, where the owner became tamei after the blood was already sprinkled. Let us now look into the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef, taking note of the fact that we have a Roman numeral, number 1, followed by a four lines from bottom, a Roman numeral number 2. And at this point, though, we also have an Aleph and Beis, two versions or stages in understanding what Rav Yosef himself says. So we have a superstructure of Roman numerals 1 and 2, and then within Roman numeral 1, we have two stages in trying to understand Rav Yosef. So, Amar Rav Yosef, Machlokes Shinitmu Bailim Achar Zrika. The machlokes Tanakama, who said burn immediately, and Rabbi Yochanan said wait till for Ibur Tzura, is where the bailim became tamei after the blood was already sprinkled. The ischazi basar lachila, the meat had reached the point that it could have been eaten, namely after the sprinkling, before the tumas bailim, the meat could have been eaten. Avol nitmu bailim lifnei zrika delo ischazi basar lachila, if the meat became tamei before the blood was sprinkled, this meat then never reached a point that it could have been eaten. So divrei hakol, everyone will agree, yisoref miyad. Even the Tanakama, who spoke about ibur tzura in the context of nitmu bailim, even the Tanakama will say it is to be burnt immediately, because you're talking about meat that never reached a point that it could have been eaten to begin with. The Gemara asks, Meisve, we raise an objection, Zahaklal. The following is the rule. Kol shepsul begufo yisarf miyad. Any psul that is inherent in the meat itself, in the korban itself, there is immediate burning. Bedam ubebailim, tubat surosoi, v'yetze lebeis hasreifa. If there's a psul in the blood or the owner, so the meat is left over and only then is it taken to be burnt. Kotoni bailim dumya dedam. This source parallels the issue of the bailim to the issue of dam, and they're taught together. Now, Ma dam lifnei zrika, the problem of the blood is a problem before the blood is sprinkled. Like, by definition, you still got the blood there, so it hasn't been sprinkled yet. So the problem of the dam is a pre-zrika issue. Af bailim lifnei zrika. So to the case of the psul in the bailim, the tumas bailim, is when the blood is still there, it's before it's been sprinkled. And it says in this source that it requires ibur tsura. Elo, e itmar. So look, before we go on, let's just repeat that last point. You've got a psul in the bailim before zrika, meaning that this blood never reached, this amit, that is, never reached the point that it could have been eaten. It was hopeless at the outset, so to speak, before. It never reached the point it could have been eaten. Nevertheless, it requires ibur tsura. Elo, e itmar, hochi itmar. Rather, if Rav Yosef said anything, he must have stated it as follows. Machloikes shenitnu bailim lifnei zrika. The machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is where the owner became tamei, the owner of the korban pesach became tamei before the blood was sprinkled. The lo ischazi boser lachila davilei kipsula begufa, where the meat became posel, the owner became unfit for eating. Hence, the boser never became available to be eaten, and as a result of that, it's like a psul begufo. Avol nitmu bailim lachar zrika. However, a case where the owner became tamei after zrikas adam, dischazi boser lachila, where the meat was available, it was a moment that it could have been eaten by that very owner. Divrei hakol, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, psula machmas dover acher. It's considered an external invalidating ubaya ibutsura. And even Rabbi Yochanan Broka was so into the immediate burning, he will concede that this requires ibutsura, because objectively the meat seems good. It reached the point that it could have been eaten. It's not right, it's not fair to have it burnt immediately. So everyone will agree, in this case, we require ibutsura. Rabbi Yochanan Omar af le'achar zrika nami machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says that even when the psu, when the tumas bailim arose after the blood was sprinkled, and that's a real case of psu machmas dover acher, there still is the machlokes, and Rabbi Yochanan Baruch will tell you yisoref miyad without ibur tsura. The Ozda Rabbi Yochanan letamei. Rabbi Yochanan here is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Now we have a new marking, a triangle, and on the side we have the following explanation. Deos Amoroyim, we'll see Amoraic opinions, Eza Tanoyim Nichlilu im Reb Yochanan Broka Lisrof Miad Psulim Afilu im Einon Begufa Korban. Which other Tanoyim will subscribe to this idea that psulim, that ruining factors that are not inherent in the meat itself, not psulim beguf hakorban, nevertheless, burn it immediately. Yisoref miyad. So Rabbi Yochanan just got finished saying that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, even in a non-psul gufe, even as though it's an external type psul, burn it immediately. So where do we find Rabbi Yochanan holding that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is of that opinion? So we continue in the Gemara. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the Rabbi Nechemya Omru Dover Echa. Don't confuse Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who's a Tana, with the Amora Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan has said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemya say the same thing. What do we mean by that? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka the Moron, we just finished discussing, presenting Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in our context. Rabbi Nechemya Mahi, what does Rabbi Nechemya say? The sign Rabbi Nechemya Omer. Rabbi Nechemya says, "Mitnei Aninus Nisrafa Zu." The story involving Aaron and Moshe that we introduced earlier, where Moshe Rabbeinu was perplexed as to why that Soyer Rosh Chodesh was being burnt when the other sacrifices were in fact eaten and they were to be eaten. So the answer to that, why the Soyer Rosh Chodesh was burnt. So there's a machlokes tanoim, and Rabbi Nechemya says, because of aninus, meaning because the two sons of Aaron had died on that day, so the korban could not be eaten. Being that it was a kotshei dora, so it was a sorry Rosh Chodesh, it wasn't a one-time type korban. And the halacha says that when it comes to standard korbanos, an onain who offers a kohen gadol, who offers it in aninus, nevertheless, it cannot be eaten. And lekach neemar ko'ele. And that's why the pasuk said ko'ele. Rashi elaborates on that quite a bit, but for our purposes, we want to focus on the aninus issue. The whole aninus... The whole psul of the korban is because there's no one to eat it. As far as the zrikas hadam was concerned, the zrikas hadam was done by the kohen gadol. It was a kosher zrikas hadam. So that the problem of aninus isn't the problem that is said to arise before the zrikas hadam. This korban was processed properly. The only reason it's not able to be eaten because they were onanim. Now, when was that So'ir Rosh Chodesh burnt? V'chi isteruf l'alter isteruf. It was burnt immediately without Ibur Tzura. So what do we see? What's the point over here? We see a psul machmas dover acher, as the case of Aninus. The case of Rabbi Yochanan Broka was a case where the Bailim became Tomei. Those are external psulim. And when does the psul arise? After Zrikas Hadam. Like case of Aninus was after Zrikas, was considered a psul after Zrikas Hadam. The case, as far as the Amora Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, vis-a-vis Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that's where the Bailin became Tomei, after Zrikas Hadam. And when is the burning? Immediately. We continue at the top of Pei Gimel Omer Aleph. Rabbo Moisif Af Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbo adds beyond that which the Amora Rabbi Yochanan had said. Rabbo says, you know, even Rabbi Yosi Aglili falls into this category, and he will hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka that a psul bailim doesn't require ibur tzura but is burnt immediately. The Sanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer. Kol ha'inyan kuloi eno medaber elo beporim hanisrofim b'sir hanisrofim. The sacrifices of Purim and Sirim HaNisrofim are sacrifices that they're special in so far as they, after they're slaughtered, the animal bodies, the carcasses, are taken out of the Beis HaMikdash to be burnt beyond, outside the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if they become posel? If the Purim and Nisrofim, the Sirim HaNisrofim sacrifices are rendered unfit? So they, and ironically, when they're unfit, they're burnt in the Azorah. So Rabbi Yochanan Aglili says that that whole Inyan, the whole Parsha that speaks about Chatas Asher Yuvah Doma, which is found in Vayikra Vav Posuk Chof Gimel, we made reference to this Posuk before. According to Rabbi Yochanan Aglili, the Posuk is telling me, Lisra Psuleim Abeis Habira. They are to be burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. The Litain Lo Yisas HaLechilosen. And also, the Pasuk is said, Lo Se'ochel. We have the Pasuk quoted on the side of the Gemara. You can see it says, Lo Se'ochel Bo Ishti Saref. One who does eat them, they will be in violation of a negative command. Omru Lo. They asked him, they asked Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Chatos, a Chatos HaChitzona, a regular Korban Chatos. Since you are saying that this pasuk is not referring to a regular korban chatos, but is referring to Purim hanisrofim, sirim hanisrofim, what about a regular chatos shenichnas dama lifnei lifnei minayin? How do you know that a chatos whose blood is brought inside the hechal, that it is also pasul? Omer lahen, he says, the pasuk says, again, this is a reference to the Moshe and Aaron story, from Vayikra Perek Yud, in that discussion it said, Hein lohuva es doma el hakodesh pnima. Aaron had told Moshe, and Moshe acknowledged, well, the blood wasn't brought in to the hechal. Michlal di'i nofik ihi inami ayil doma b'sreifa. From this, we derive that had the blood been taken out, nofik'i, taken out, or aisle, or brought into the heichal, then b'sreifa, then the burning of this chatas hachitzona would have been justified. In other words, that's what you do. So what do we see over here? What's the point? Why did we bring this Rabbi Yose Glili discussion in? He is showing us that the movement of the blood to an incorrect location results in its being burnt immediately. So as far as Rabbi Yose Glili, or as far as Rabba is concerned, Rabba who brought in Rabbi Yose Glili, we are seeing another example of a psul nachmas dover acher. In other words, the korban becomes possible because something happened with its blood. And even so, it's burnt immediately. So you have Rabbi Yochanan Broka who spoke about the Bailim becoming Tomei after Zrikas Adam. You've got Rabbi Nechemia who speaks about the owner or the owner, the people being Oninim, and that's why it's burnt, and it was burnt immediately. And here you've got an issue of the blood of a chatas chitzona being brought into the Hechal. It's burnt, and it's burnt immediately. So you have, as far as Rabbah is concerned, you have three Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Rabbi Nechemia, and Rabbi Yose Glili, all saying that a psul machmas dover achir, where there's a psul in the korban that's not inherent in the meat of the korban itself, nevertheless, no ibur tzura, there's immediate burning. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, who Rabbi Yochanan did not include Rabbi Yose Glili in the list. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabba. Rabbi Yochanan was, we saw in our the previous triangle, and he is pitted up against Rabba. So Rabbi Yochanan Sovar, Rabbi Yochanan who disagrees with Rabba, he holds Dam Ubosar Chada Milsehi. A psul in the blood having been brought to the wrong location, is tantamount, or is the equivalent of a psul, a ruination in the meat of the korban itself. And that's, in effect, a psul bagufo. So as far as its immediate burning, that's easy to understand. However, bailim milso achritihi, the topic that Rabbi Yochanan Broka spoke about, and the topic that Rabbi Nechemia spoke about, there the psul was in the owner. That is a psul machmas dover achir, and so as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, that kind of psul, only Rabbi Yochanan Broka and Rabbi Nechemia would say you burn immediately. But as far as Rabbi Yose HaGlili is concerned, maybe he wouldn't agree with that, to have it burnt immediately, but rather it would require Ibur Tzura. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.